with you as we prepare for the next step in my journey here. But if you'd be willing to, please open your Bibles to the book of Jude. If you're not familiar with the New Testament, it's the book right before Revelation. We're going to be looking at verses 20 through 25. Before we get started, it's nice to see everybody here this morning. Good big crowd. That's always good to see. Jude, verses 20 through 25. And it reads this: "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray to the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with the great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." Let's pray. Lord, we just want to come to you now with open hearts and open minds, Lord, and just use this passage to speak to all of us, and Lord, we just ask you to enter this building and to show your grace and your mercy among everybody here this morning, and we'll thank you. Amen. Now, as we get started, this morning we're going to speak on how to encourage yourself. And, you know, truth be told, especially in the church, everybody needs to be an encourager. I know there those certain times, though, where you're going through a situation and, you know, there might be a loss of a loved one, there might be, you know, whatever may be going on, and it doesn't matter what somebody says to you, how they say it, when they say it, where they say it. It, none of that matters, and it's not going to affect us. There's not going to be that time where, you know, Bill could walk up to me and say, "Hey, you know, I'm praying for you." There's times, you know, even in my life, and that, you know, it's like, well, okay, that's fine, thank you, you know. But it really doesn't encourage me. So, you know, there are times that make me convinced that with the Lord's help, we can be our own greatest encourager. Let me tell you why. I remember one time, this was quite a while ago, but you're going to wonder where I'm going with this, but it has a point. My mom, we were sitting in the living room one night, and she started itching her back. And I remember this distinctly, because it happens all the time, but this particular instance I remember, she goes, "I can't get it." She's sitting there and she's reaching back and she's trying to scratch. Well, she ends up walking over to our little walkway into the living room, and she stands against the corner there and she goes like this. She closes her eyes and she's itching and itching and itching, using this door frame to get that itch in the middle of her back. And I remember it must have been something terrible, because I remember the reaction when she finally got it. You know, it was one of those, ah, you know, and she's probably embarrassed that I'm telling you this, but she was doing that. And now I've noticed that she, you know, if she gets an itch now, she calls on my dad. She goes, "Lynn, come here." Or she walks over to Lynn and she goes, "Hey, can you get this? Can you get that?" You know, and he sits there. And of course, his first reaction, his first question every time is, "Where? Where's it at?" And she goes, "Oh, right shoulder blade. Get it, get it. It's moving, it's moving." I don't know. I didn't realize itches could move. But, you know, it's moving, get it, get it, get it. So, you know, so there my dad goes, he's scratching. She goes, no, left, left. So he moves a little left. No, right. So she moves a little right. She has him going all over the place. Eventually he ends up scratching her whole back. But, you know, the problem with that is she walks up to him. And, I mean, everybody does it. I know I personally do it as well. If I have an itch, I walk up to my dad or I walk up to my mom. "Can you get that for me?" You know. But the problem with that is, you know, it's not my father in that situation who has the itch. So he has no clue where it's at. You know, my mom walks up to him, "Can you get that?" And his first reaction every time is, "Where's it at? I can't help you unless I know where it's at." So I'm sure, you know, Bill's just up here. He's kind of looking at me confused, thinking, okay, where's the point here? But, you know, the point is that no one knows better than God what your needs are, what your weaknesses are, what your wants are, what your desires are. Nobody knows that more than God. And I'm even willing to go this far and say that if you have an itch, God knows where it's at. He knows everything about you. And so who better to rely on than the Lord Jesus Christ? So we need to know how to encourage ourselves, how to build up our faith, and how to become stronger spiritually so that we can encourage ourselves. So if you want to look again at verse 20, it reads, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit." Have you ever heard somebody say, I've heard this a few times, you know, they'll come out at the end of a service and they'll look around and they'll say, boy, I just didn't get anything out of that service this morning. There have been times, even when I was attending, actually it's kind of funny because I'm moving to Bradford tomorrow afternoon. And I attended the University of Pittsburgh at Bradford for a year. So I've been there, I know the area, my parents are both originally from there, I'm actually moving in three doors down from my grandfather. The one, my dad's dad, who is when did we go see him? Tuesday. So, in 85 days, he's turning 90. Or, I'm sorry, 100. 85 days, he's turning 100. We were there, and he was so excited, and he looked at my dad, and he goes, you know, I can still see without my glasses. He's so deaf to this point that you can't sit there and have a normal conversation with him. Even Rose, who's his, I guess you could say, companion. They even call themselves companions. But, you know, she would have to lean down right next to his ear and scream for him in order to hear. And his reason for not getting hearing aids, and this is a whole bunny trail, but I have time. But his whole reason for not getting hearing aids is because he can't stand to hear his feet on the floor. Now talk about stubborn. He can't stand hearing his feet on the floor, so he says, nope, not getting hearing aids. Y'all have to write to me now. So we're sitting in there. Literally, here's my dad. It was really kind of funny. I enjoyed watching it. My grandfather, he's just sitting there in his chair, his arms are crossed. He's just got the biggest smile on his face. And here's his companion, Rose. She's sitting there trying to have a conversation with us. And here's Dad sitting there writing something down. Dad, Jake is moving three doors down, and I am still working at Faith Evangelical Church in Corey. And he'd have to show him, and Grandpa would look at it, and he'd go, oh, okay. He thought my dad was my Uncle Nick when we walked in. But that was kind of funny. Okay, I'm not gonna lie here. I have no clue where that story was going. But I guess I just kind of went on a little bunny trail there or something. Good thing I'm not a teacher, because I don't think I'd get through anything. Let's see, where was I? Have you ever heard, I didn't get anything out of the service, or perhaps, you know, you said it yourself. There's another way of saying that. And this is probably a bigger one now in churches, is people get out of a service and they say, well, I'm just not getting fed. I'm just not getting fed. And, you know, there's something wrong with that. There really is. You know, when we're in church, if you're listening and you're paying close attention and your heart's open, there's something we're going to get out of the service. Whether it's the very beginning or the very end, there's something every service that we're going to get. But, you know, when we're outside the church, we can't depend on somebody else to give us that spiritual nourishment or that spiritual encouragement, if you will. So we need to learn how to build ourselves up and how to encourage ourselves in the faith. So let's look, point number one is we can be led in our prayers. And that's again verse 20. I'll read it again. It says, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit." So we can be led in our prayers. You see, what is Jude talking about, praying in the Holy Spirit? See, he's saying that somebody is there to help us with our prayers. Someone who can teach us how to pray and what to pray for. I know for me personally, I've had instances where I've been so discouraged that I didn't know how to pray. I was going through different situations throughout my life, and I remember, you know, my dad saying, "Well, Jake, just pray about it." And I remember looking at him and saying, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I remember looking at him and saying, "I don't know how to pray for it. It feels like if I go along this road, I'm completely missing this part of what I need, you know, the prayer for. And if I go on this side, I'm missing, you know, the other aspect of what I need prayer for." But you see, that's what the Holy Spirit's there for. That's what he does. He comes beside us and he helps us. And we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and allow him to be the helper in our prayers. Paul writes in, he writes in Romans chapter 8, let me find it and read it here, verse 26. He reads, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express." Now, let me tell you something kind of interesting about this. When it says the Holy Spirit helps, the word in the Greek means to take hold of together. To take hold of together. So what does it say? It says that the Lord takes hold of us and our weakness, and he leads us through and guides us through to the other side safely. So picture this. You're walking down the street, and this has happened. I'm sure this has happened to everybody at one point or another. You're walking down the street, or you're walking in work, or whatever the situation might be, and there's this person that's bent down trying to pick up this box or something heavy, and they're trying to pick it up, and they're struggling with it, and you're walking by. What do you say to them? "Need some help?" "Yeah. Can I help you with that? Let me help you with that." Well, you see, that's what the Holy Spirit does in our prayer life, in our lives in general. The Holy Spirit, it's not just a thing that just kind of, you know, when you think about a spirit, you just think something that floats around and just watches. You know, that's not what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit wants to come and help us when we're struggling with our burdens, and he comes along us, and that's essentially, that's what he says. "Let me help you with that. Can I help you with that?" And so that's what the Holy Spirit is here for. He's here to give us encouragement. He knows that when we are struggling in our prayers and our words just seem not to express what we're feeling, he's there. The Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit helps us. So let's look at point number two, verse 21. But point number two is we can be loyal in our position. Verse 21 reads, "Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." You see, when I was reading this, "keep yourselves in the love of God." Keep yourselves, this translation says, "in God's love." But you see, that's not telling us that there's an action that we can do to save ourselves. That's not telling us that once we become saved, there's an action we can take that will keep us saved. What it's saying is God's love is unconditional. There's not an end. There's not a beginning. It's forever. Unconditional. There's nothing that's going to stop God's love. And you know, let's be honest. That should be a thankful prayer in our hearts on a daily basis. Because could you imagine how hard it would be to be saved if when Jesus came, he had the same attitude as a human? The times that we, you know, frustrate somebody and they turn their back or they get mad and they walk away. Could you imagine how hard it would be if we had to deal with a God whose love was conditional? Whose love just mattered based on what we did in our lives? We make a mistake, and then all of a sudden, "Oh, I'm sorry. You made a mistake. I don't love you anymore." I couldn't imagine trying to live life and trying to you know, be a Christian and have to live, you know, with that kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? That kind of fear on a daily basis. Living, you know, and I remember when I was When I was in high school, I had a good friend of mine who I won't say his name, but he was dating this girl, and I remember he came up to me one time. And this was high school. I mean, we were seniors in high school. I mean, this kid was full of drama, but he came up to me and he goes, you know, he said, I really like this girl that I'm dating. He said, but I feel like I have to buy in order for her to love me. And that's, I mean, he came up to me and he was all serious about it. He's like, I feel like I need to do this, I need to do this and do this in order for her to love me and to keep, you know, that love for me. And, you know, that's not, I told him, he didn't like it, but I told him, you know, that's not true love. When you feel like you have to buy something or you have to keep giving and keep giving and keep giving in order to keep somebody loving you, that's not true love. And, you know, that's the prayer. You know, we don't have to continually buy something for God in order for Him to love us. There's no possible way. Who's a mean, nasty man that's been in the history? A mean and nasty person.
Obama?
Hitler. Oh, you didn't hear that. I better turn my microphone off. Hitler. Man, I'm all red now. I knew I shouldn't have asked him. But, you know, it didn't even matter what Hitler did. He couldn't leave the love of God. God still loved him as much as He loves each and every one of us. And that's absolutely unbelievable to me. You know, I couldn't imagine being in the presence of God and looking down and saying, "God, did you just see what He did? How can you? You know, how can you allow that? How can you still love that person for what he did?" But He still does. If He can love Hitler, and I don't mean that to sound bad, but you know, He loves absolutely everybody. So keeping yourselves in the love of God. The word keep means to watch by keeping an eye. All right? That's the Greek meaning for keep. Excuse me. So here we go. Life gets you down and you need encouragement. You can build yourselves up by keeping your eyes upon God. You know, so many people, I look at my age group. From graduating high school, my group, my classmates, for the most part, most of my classmates went to church, you know, grew up in church, and you know, a lot of them were committed Christians. A lot of the kids I played basketball with, a lot of the kids that were cheerleaders, a lot of the kids that were on the band, a lot of the kids that didn't, you know, get in extracurricular activities. There were a lot of kids who were Christians. But you see, a lot of us, and I use my class for example, because I know a lot of the kids are no longer in the will of God. And that's just simply because they make foolish choices in bad times. It's not because God says, no, I'm sorry, you made this mistake, you're no longer in my will. It's because, you know, we continually make poor choices during bad times in our lives. But the way to avoid this is by staying focused upon the fact that God loves us. And how He demonstrates that love. And number three, verse 21, it's we can be looking for His promise. Verse 21 reads, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Looking for means to await. So as Christians, what are we to be looking for? What are we to be awaiting for? I remember one time... I don't remember who it was, but somebody said at one point, let me read it here. Some folks look like they're waiting for the Undertaker, but I'm waiting for the Uppertaker. You know, that, I mean, it's something very simple, but how true? You know, how true? This person had it. They understood. And, you know, when it comes down to it, when there's those times in our lives where we feel like we can't take another step, that next step is, you know, like we're stepping into a shark-infested waters. You know, just keep your eyes on the promise that God has given. That promise, that wonderful promise that, you know, He died and He rose. But that wasn't the end. He's coming back. And that's the promise that we can focus on that really can help encourage. When we're going through those down times, we feel like, man, there's no help for this world. There's nothing we can do. Keep your eyes focused on that one promise that God had given. You know, it's not God's character to lie. He never did. So what He says, He's going to do. And if He says He's coming back, we need to wait and look for that promise to come true. Because you know what? It's going to happen. Whether it's 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, 500 years, nobody knows. People are going to continually say they know, but in the end, nobody knows. And so we need to just keep focused on that promise. And finally, we can be loving towards the perishing. Verse 22 reads, "Be merciful to those who doubt." Very short, simple verse. Be merciful to those who doubt. So how can I encourage myself? How can I build up my faith? By loving the unsaved. By getting yourselves involved, by getting ourselves involved intimately in the spiritual life of other people. By reaching out to those who were lost, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. We are waiting His coming, but while we are waiting, we need to be active. There is one problem that's hitting America very hard now, and that's depression. Depression seems to be hitting probably the whole world, but I know in America for sure, depression, you know, it seems to hit so many people today. You look around and you know, you find those people, but it's because we are inactive. All right? Now, some of you are probably thinking, now, wait a minute here. My plate is full. Matter of fact, my plate's so full that I can't add anything else on that plate. You know, there are times where I feel like that too. This past week has been crazy. Trying to pack, trying to get everything situated. Where I've thought, there have been days where I thought, oh man, there's no possible way I can fit anything else in. But notice I said inactive. I didn't say busy. Because this country, we're a very busy people. But just because we're busy doesn't mean we're active. There may be a lot of things going on that might be distracting us from what we need to be doing, but we are not actively pursuing the lost. That has become, no pun intended, a lost art in this country. We are not actively pursuing the lost. And when I say that, there are churches, you know, this church for one, we reach out to the lost. We do. Doors are open. People are available to come in. You know, visitors all the time. But as a whole, this country is not actively trying to pursue the lost towards Jesus Christ. And, you know, and a lot of it comes down to we're too scared of being thrown in jail. Where was it a couple years ago that some guy was preaching on the street corner, he was thrown in jail for hatred? That's crazy. But you know, we're told that we're not supposed to let that stop us. We need to continue reaching out for the lost and trying to win them to Jesus Christ. So need encouraging? Tell someone about Christ. Show some compassion towards the unsaved. Make a difference by being compassionate. And seize them, most importantly, seize them from the fire. Nothing will encourage us more than getting ourselves involved in somebody's lives spiritually. Nothing will encourage us more than having an open door to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, and we take that opportunity. It's just like when they tell you when you're tired to go for a walk, because it gives you more energy. It's the same thing here. There are those people. I missed out on an opportunity. I'm going a little over this morning, but I missed out on an opportunity 3 years. 3 years ago, I was working at the high school in the maintenance department, and I had one of the guys that I was working with come up to me and say, you know, I wouldn't mind going to church and becoming a Christian, but God wouldn't take me. I'm too dirty. And for some reason, I just let it go. That was an open door. And just imagine how encouraging. I mean, those times where we can reach out to other people, they're very encouraging. And so when you're having a down day and you need encouraging, just remember, you know, that we can be led in our prayers. Remember Jude 20 through 25, because it's a passage of Scripture that gives us a pattern of which we can take to get encouragement. We can be led in our prayers. We can be loyal in our position. We can be looking for His promise, and we can be loving towards the perishing. This may not be the typical going away message or whatever. To be honest with you, I don't know that I've ever heard a going away message. We've been lucky enough to be here for 23 years. But this church has been, it's grown very important to me. And it's not because of the building, it's because of the people. And, you know, I just want you to know that all of you will be in my prayers as I take this next step in my journey. It's very exciting. This church will always play a very important role in my life. Oh, let's pray. Lord, we come to you now. We want to ask you to take Jude verses 20 through 25 and implement them into our lives, Lord. Because, Lord, there's nothing more enticing to an unsaved person than to see an encouraged person. A person who is involved in other people's lives spiritually. A person who knows that promise is going to come true of you returning for us, Lord. There's nothing more enticing to a person than to see somebody else happy. And when somebody sees a person happy, they want to see what's going on. And Lord, we just ask that you would take this passage, you would implement it into each and every one of our lives so we can leave this building and we can be encouraged to take it out into the public. So we can be encouraged to serve you, Lord, and we just want to thank you for that. Now, Lord, just want to pray for the rest of the services today as we look at the subject of restoration this morning in the 10:45 service. Lord, just be with that service and Lord, just be with everybody here and just love us and care for us and we'll thank you for everything you do. Amen. Just give me a moment to get to the back. Sunday school is starting in approximately 20 minutes, so if you want to stick around, there's a class for everybody.